My guest this week is Phil Kohler. He's here to talk about his review of Uncharted Lost Legacy. My name is Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control. Phil Kohler, the original Quality Control guest, welcome back
Hello.
To the program. You know, we're about to have our first, when the new Mordor game comes out, that was the first ever Quality Control episode, so we're going to be back to the beginning, our first ever
It all comes full circle. I don't know if I'll be reviewing that one, but we'll see.
This time you're reviewing another sequel, though, sort of. It's Uncharted The Lost Legacy, which is... It was announced as DLC and then sort of shifted into a standalone product. How did knowing that history sort of shade your anticipation of this going in, your preconceptions about it?
I mean, well, I think the biggest thing, the biggest effect that knowing about the sort of context around how the game was announced and everything had on me is that I expected less. You know, I went in expecting, okay, well, this was DLC and they shifted it to standalone, but it's probably still about the size of a DLC, which ended up not being the case. Like it's basically a full length game. It took me 7.5 hours, which, you know, maybe a little shorter than other Uncharted games.
And a lot shorter than Uncharted 4.
A lot shorter than Uncharted 4, which was very long, but, you know, for like an action shooter game, 7.5 hours is about, you know, about what I want.
Speaking of which, I felt like personally Uncharted 4 overstayed its welcome in a pretty major way. Did this being shorter actually increase your enjoyment, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I liked Uncharted 4 quite a lot. I didn't have any super big issues regarding its length, although I can totally see where you're coming from on that. But that said, I appreciate a tightly, you know, paced game. And I do think that The Lost Legacy is tightly paced, and it doesn't feel in any way like it overstays its welcome. I was surprised at how much was there, but I definitely didn't feel like it was too much.
Now, we've got new protagonists this time. Tell me a little bit about them and how playing as these two new protagonists differs from Nate Dogg, as I call him.
Yeah. So you're in control of Chloe Frazier the whole time. Chloe is, of course, a character who was featured. I think she was introduced in Uncharted 2, and she also played a smaller role in Uncharted 3, and then just kind of wasn't there in Uncharted 4. Nobody was sure what was going on with her. And then she's partners with Nadine Ross, who is one of the antagonists in Uncharted 4. But she's kind of turned over a new leaf here and is trying out a new life. As far as how it differs from playing as Nathan Drake, not terribly much at all. You know, Chloe is also a treasure hunter. She's also a sort of sarcastic, telling jokes type. And also kind of an asshole like Nathan Drake was. The biggest difference as far as like, you know, just interaction between the two is that Nadine is very different from any previous partner that Nathan Drake has had. She's much more like sort of serious, tough as nails, you know, bristles at the constant sarcasm and jokes. And that makes for an interesting dynamic between the two. But the core gameplay is the same as it's ever been. It's that mix of like stealthing around to take out bad guys, and then going into third person shooter combat, and then platforming, and then puzzle solving.
It's interesting because this is supposedly the last Naughty Dog Uncharted game. Four was such a satisfying conclusion to the Nathan Drake story. Does having a sort of like side story be the last project, the last Uncharted project from Naughty Dog, feel weird, or does it feel fitting?
I definitely can see how it might feel weird to some people. I think the the way that I felt about it, and I talk about this in the review, is that it almost felt to me like Naughty Dog sort of laying the groundwork so that if Sony decides to take the Uncharted series and give it to other developers and keep it going in the future, which, you know, seems likely, right? The series is very popular. It seems unlikely that Sony would just be like, well, Naughty Dog's done, so we're not going to do it anymore.
There's always vicarious visions, guys.
There's always vicarious visions.
Right there waiting.
But the it feels like The Lost Legacy sort of lays some of the groundwork for future developers to say, like, okay, here is what Uncharted can be without Nathan Drake. So that it's almost like Naughty Dog was like, we know we're not going to do anymore. We know that Nathan Drake's story is done. We don't want another developer to come in and just say, surprise, Nathan Drake's back at it. He got pulled back in. So instead, they gave them this setup of like, look at, we've got these other characters. We've got this whole world full of different treasure hunters and like villains and everything. And you can do stuff that you can do stuff in that world and interesting things that doesn't need to pull back in this protagonist whose story we've already told.
Were you disappointed to not see more sort of mechanical evolution to justify this?
No, I mean, you know, it's always hard weighing how much new stuff you think should be added in what's a sequel or I guess an extension of a popular ongoing franchise. In this case, I wasn't too disappointed, if only because the gameplay and the design of everything, well, it's not doing anything new for the Uncharted series. It's doing everything the series has always done extremely well, mm-hmm. to high level of quality, high level of polish. And they do have one new aspect that's worth talking about, which is they have this level in the game called the Western Ghats. It's like the second level, full level in the game. And it's larger than, I think what they've said is it's larger than any level that, Naughty Dog has ever created for an Uncharted game before. Hmm. And it's sort of like them just kind of like testing the waters of like messing around with open world type gameplay. So that at least like changes up the structure a little bit, does try something that we haven't seen done in Uncharted before.
We have got a lot of questions here from listeners, and I'm going to get to those very briefly. I did want to ask, though, Uncharted 4 brought in some sort of, I would say, stealth as an option, stealthy possibilities. Is that something we see here?
Yep. Yeah, it's almost exactly like it was in Uncharted 4. I would say part of what this game does so well, and part of the reason that I mention it being polished, is that both for the sake of the stealth and for the sake of the actual like combat when you get spotted, the sort of combat arenas that Naughty Dog has designed are just really, really well done. And there's so many different directions that you can take and that enemies can come from, so many different paths through those arenas. And it makes both sneaking around and, you know, trying to take out as many people as you can before you get spotted, it makes that extremely satisfying. But then also, once you are spotted and you're fighting a bunch of people, it becomes a different kind of strategy of like, okay, how can I flank these people? And they're also trying to flank me from another direction. And it's really, really fun and well done.
Okay, Phil, let's say they do pass off Uncharted to another developer. Who do you want Uncharted 5 to follow? Nathan Drake or Chloe?
Well, like I said, I'm 100% behind Naughty Dog's what seems to be part of their goal here, which is saying, like, listen, Nathan Drake's done. We don't need to see any more Nathan Drake stories. They've told as much as they can with him. I would love to see Chloe. I would love to see Nadine return. I would love to see like some of the other characters.
Just Sully olding around everywhere.
Yeah, like I saw somebody on a forum mention like a like Adventures of Young Sully. That could be fun.
Sure, yeah.
Or Nathan's brother, of course, is still out there as well. So you know, there's basically an endless variety of directions they could take it in. And I would love to see any of them except for The return of Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Like, maybe have him as a cameo, sure. Have him show up at some point, or have a character call him and be like, hey, Nathan, buddy, I'm stuck. What do I do?
I don't know. I can't help. I'm sending my best person. All right, Phil, I'm going to get to some listener questions in a second, but first we got to take a quick break. Okay, and we're back. Just like that. It was a quick break. I don't have a very long musical cue there. I know, it's very speedy. I want to tell everybody about the Art of Shaving. So the Art of Shaving is a great shaving experience, and you can elevate your grooming routine to a grooming ritual with the brand new bourbon-inspired collection in celebration of the highly anticipated new film Kingsman, The Golden Circle, in theaters September 22nd. Now, you wouldn't normally think that drinking and shaving would mix. It seems a little bit dangerous. But inspired by the Kingsman movie, the new Art of Shaving collection was thoughtfully created to celebrate the best of the modern gentleman. It combines a rich, woodsy base with a hint of vanilla. The bourbon amber scent evokes both heritage and tradition. And now, this Art of Shaving stuff doesn't just help you get a good shave. It's good for your skin. With its blend of botanical ingredients and essential oils, the pre-shave formula from Art of Shaving is perfectly suited for men with tough beards. And it's formulated with skin conditioners and essential oils. The shaving cream helps hydrate and soften your beard hair for a close, comfortable shave. You can see the new movie, Kingsman: The Golden Circle, in theaters September 22nd. Sure, if you'd like to do that. And our listeners will receive 15% off their first order and free shipping by using promo code QUALITY. To get this offer, you go online to theartofshaving.com. Use the special promo code QUALITY and get 15% off your first order and free shipping. And that is going to do it for sponsors this week. So let's
Hold on. I got to mention here, you know, you mentioned drinking and shaving not going together. I got to say, Justin, I live a very, very quiet, very boring life, very normal. I'm behind a computer most of my days, right?
Right, right.
Sometimes I just want to feel like a treasure hunter. Sometimes I want to feel like like a Chloe Fraser or a Nathan Drake. And how do you do that when you're living this kind of life? You mix together
drinking
some bourbon and some shaving. Done.
Go for it.
It's perfect.
So listener questions. I'm not going to ask about whether or not the Jeep can talk. Nice try, John. that is not up for debate.
It can.
Okay, well, gosh, spoilers. When in the Uncharted timeline does the story take place?
This is post Uncharted 4. So, you know, they definitely talk about things that happen in Uncharted 4. In particular, Nadine has clearly been heavily affected by the events of Uncharted 4. She was, like I said, she was an antagonist in the game. She was basically a mercenary, the head of this mercenary army called Shoreline. And at the end of Uncharted 4, her army was basically gone because Nathan Drake killed all of them. So she's kind of, she's basically kind of rudderless and trying to figure out where she belongs in this world now, if she's not the leader of this mercenary army. And it doesn't specify the exact amount of time that has passed, but I think what I've read in a couple of interviews is like somewhere between 6 months and a year.
Is there from New Metal? Is there any hint of Nathan Drake, or is he just forgotten?
They talk about him. I mean, you know, Chloe and Nadine talk about him and mention, you know, like their past connections to him. And there are some other very clever nods, I will say, that I don't want to spoil too much, but I also will confirm, and I think Naughty Dog has said this pretty openly, is that Nathan Drake does not appear in the game at all.
Having missed the entire Uncharted boat, asks Alex, would this be a good jumping in point?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is fine for new players. You know, you will miss those nods that I mentioned. You will miss some of the history stuff. You won't know who Chloe and Nadine are, but the game establishes them fairly well and gives them some more depth and some backstory. So I think this is a totally fine game if you want to just jump in. And it also provides a really good picture of like, oh, this is what an Uncharted game is. This is everything that it encompasses.
Is there a supernatural component, asks Roman, like in the previous games, no sort of mythical presence in Uncharted 4 was a bummer for me. And congratulations, Roman, on being the only person on Earth to feel that way.
Yeah, I was like, I'm kind of the opposite.
It's
yeah,
not really a supernatural component. It's just like how that is expressed every time is just always sort of a bummer in a gameplay mechanics sense.
No, I agree with you. I don't want to spoil anything too much, but I will say that the as far as like the treasure hunting and stuff in this game is concerned, it's pretty strongly grounded. Part of the backstory of the game, or part of what's going on that you discover early on, is that you're in India, and India is in the midst of this civil war. And Chloe herself has Indian heritage. She's half Indian. So they keep the the history and everything pretty strongly grounded in reality to sort of deal with those very serious themes.
I have a question for you, Phil, that has not been addressed here, and I think it's notable. Zero questions about the multiplayer of this product. Though I assume it is still has multiplayer.
Yes. So
what why?
Well, so what happens if you buy The Lost Legacy is you get the full multiplayer from Uncharted 4, which is pretty fleshed out. They have a new survival arena mode.
All my stats and unlocks that I got from playing so much Uncharted 4 multiplayer.
Probably, maybe. I can't say that I ever touched Uncharted 4's multiplayer, so I'm a bad person to ask that. But they also have a new survival arena mode, which is a co-op wave-based thing. And I think what I said in the review is that the multiplayer is fine. It's fine. It's fine. But it's also, it's very much just like, it's not what I've ever gone to Uncharted for. I think they originally added multiplayer was in Uncharted 2. But it's never been what's pulled me into the series. So it's kind of something where I straight up said in the review, if multiplayer is a big reason for you to buy this game, you should probably check in with a second source who's a little more interested and focused on that, because I played a few games and was like, yep, this is Uncharted 4 multiplayer. It seems okay. And then
good
got back
them,
to what I actually cared about.
Continue to soldier on. I'm assuming there's a vibrant community that cares desperately about that. I'm so happy that they're continuing to be serviced. Phil, anything else you want to add about Uncharted The Lost Legacy before we wrap up?
No, I mean, it's a good game. I would recommend checking it out. And I hope that Sony does the right thing with Uncharted. I hope that they, if they do keep it going, they give it to a developer who can actually like deliver something good.
Folks, that is going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Polygon.com for being such a good video game site that you can go read lots of stuff about video games and watch lots of videos and read Phil's review and so much more. So go check that totally out. But until next time, my name is Justin McElroy. For Phil Kohler, thank you so much for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.